In our virtual mailbag this week, many emails about our conversation with Tanya Williams, who was angered that her husband's tour in Iraq with the 3rd Infantry was being extended still further.
Patrick Boyle of Charlottesville, Virginia writes, "How could any one wife whine so much about not seeing her soldier in 9 months? Perhaps she doesn't realize that the standard tour in Vietnam was 1 year, that many men spent more than 2 years in Korea, or that thousands of soldiers went off to World War II in 1941 and 1942 and didn't come home until it was over. And this was all before the internet made it possible to stay in touch with home daily from long distance."
Another letter from Beverly Engstrom of Phoenix, Arizona, whose husband is serving in Tikrit, Iraq, with the 4th Infantry Division. She writes, "He, too, will be there for a year. Daily, he is witness to attacks on our troops. I miss him dearly, but will not give a negative word about what our government is doing for the Iraqi people. I show my support for President Bush's decision by my support of my soldier husband."
Many of you were not amused by our story on foreign reporters struggling to translate President Bush's phrases, "darn good intelligence" and "bring 'em on."
"Dopey cutesification of the news" is the evaluation of Stephen Backus. He says, "The story itself took up lots of airtime when more troubling issues need covering, but the final tag of 'bring 'em on,' to repeat for those of you who haven't heard, demonstrates outrageous insensitivity. I wonder if any people working at NPR have relatives in Iraq."
Robert's conversation with writer Paul Theroux about his experiences in Africa was one-sided, according to Gloria Ambler in El Paso, Texas. She writes, "I had a contrasting experience. I recently returned to the area in rural Kenya, where I had been a teacher in a struggling secondary school in the late 1970s. After more than 20 years of hearing about the decline of Africa, I was prepared to see my old friends suffering and my school in disrepair. Instead, I found many signs of progress. The school had prospered with new buildings and installations of electricity and running water. People's homes had been dramatically improved. Life is not easy for my friends in rural Kenya, but it is better than it was 25 years ago. This story needs to be told, and I believe it is more typical than Mr. Theroux's."
A couple of corrections about our story yesterday on the Superfund site of Tar Creek, Oklahoma. Lucy Boone writes from Norman, Oklahoma, to remind us that the governor of that state, Brad Henry, is a Democrat, not a Republican, as we reported. Ms. Boone says, "We Oklahoma Democrats worked very hard to get Mr. Henry elected and would appreciate NPR recognizing this fact. Oh, and by the way, Miami is in Florida. In Oklahoma, it is pronounced Miami."
Finally, our story about Nike's plans to purchase Converse, maker of Chuck Taylor All-Stars sneakers, prompted this reminiscence from listener Julie Eggleston. She tells us, "I met my husband over a pair of All-Stars. It was the summer after my 6th grade year, and I was attending summer camp in Waco, Texas. The first day of camp, a group of boys filed into our seminar room, sat in the front row, and propped up several pairs of Converse All-Stars. They called themselves the Converse Kids, and I fell in love with the skinny boy in the middle. Over 20 years later, we are married with 3 children and living, ironically, in Converse, Texas. My husband still wears All-Stars, and the Converse Kids are still friends. Thanks for bringing back good memories."
And thanks to you for writing. Our address is atc@npr.org. And please remember to let us know where you're writing from and how you pronounce your name.